And as they go, I would invite you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 23. Matthew 20, 20 through 23. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him, and he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." I'm going to look now. Matthew. Mother. Mom. The words evoke many different feelings. Some are happy. Some are sad. Today is a bittersweet day for many. Some have to do with memories, perhaps after Mom has gone to be with God. Others' feelings are tied to present relationships that we might have. For many, these names are more than simply a word to tattoo on an arm or a shout out on the sidelines. "Thanks, Mom," as the football player turns to the camera. Today we honor and remember mothers, for we all have one. And I hope that these memories are good for you. As I shared at the funeral yesterday, memories of mothers can vary, and sometimes they may not all be wonderful, but even after enough years, the fact that your mother made you go and cut your own switch from the forsythia bush can bring a smile and humor. But what is a mother? There are many words that we could use, many descriptions. Mothers are teachers. They are cleaners. And not just out in the cleaners, but cleaners around the house and other places. Some of them are disciplinarians. Some of them tend gardens. And some tend the garden of their children. Others work as nurses. Some are even Dr. Mom. Our sons, 37 and almost 33, oftentimes still, if someone gets sick, they call Dr. Mom to ask, "Can we take this? Can we take that? What should we do here?" Some are counselors. Many are chauffeurs. They help develop personalities, to shape vocabularies. They help form attitudes and teach right from wrong. And when we think about it, for many, if not most, mothers are the first impression of God's love for a baby. And yet moms and those who sometimes fill that void when there is not a mom present are so much more than that. I really sometimes think that perhaps women are from Venus, because I have such a hard time understanding. But I know more than that, and I know better than that. I know that God took extra special care with women. Perhaps, and I ran across the other day the old Irma Bombeck story about mothers. Perhaps you remember that column. Some things I will leave out in the interest of time. But she wrote a column years and years and years ago about the day that God created mothers. On the day God created mothers, He worked long hours overtime. An angel said, "Lord, You sure are spending a lot of time on this one." The Lord said, "Have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable but not plastic. To have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to have a lap that disappears when she stands up. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers, and to have 6 pairs of hands." 6 pairs of hands? That's impossible. "Well, it's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me. It's the 3 sets of eyes. One pair that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, 'What are you kids doing in there?' she already knows what the kids are doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things that she's not supposed to see, but must see. And then she has one pair in front that can look at a child that just goofed and communicate love and understanding without even saying a word." "That's way too much," the angel said. "You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and continue it tomorrow?" "No, I can't," said the Lord. "I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to actually take a shower." The angel looked closely and said, "But she's too soft." "Oh, but she's tough. You'd be surprised at how much this mother can do." "Can she think?" asked the angel. "Not only can she think, but she can reason and compromise and persuade." The angel touched the cheek and said, "Hold on, this one has a leak. I told you couldn't put that much into one model." The Lord said, "That's not a leak, it's a tear." "What's a tear?" "It's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment, and for pride." The angel said, "You really are a genius." The Lord said, "Oh, but I'm not the one that put it there." And so we come to the passage for today. And like most, I have often thought about how selfish James and John's mother must have been. However, after a conversation with a colleague of mine some time back, I got a new bit of insight. Perhaps it works for you. I know it works for me. Here this mother came with her sons. She knelt before Jesus and she asked Him for a favor. Perhaps the conversation was something like this. "Well, what do you want?" "I want You to grant my sons that my sons may sit at Your right hand and at Your left hand when You're in Your kingdom." "You really don't know what You're asking, do you?" And then turning to James and John, seeming to ignore their mother at the moment, Jesus says, "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" James and John said, "Sure we can." And Jesus said, "Yeah, you will. But to sit at My right and left hand is not for Me to give. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by My Father." We don't know what James and John's mother reaction was to that. But I do want us to spend just a moment or two thinking about how much this mother cared for her sons and wanted for her sons, so much that, like the Syrophoenician woman that I mentioned earlier that came to Jesus and said, "Lord, my daughter is ill, please heal her," she was willing to come and face Jesus Himself and ask that her sons be given opportunities to be the best that they could possibly be. James and John's mother knew about Jesus' teachings on the kingdom. She knew that there was going to be a kingdom and that he would be sitting at the right hand of God, the Father. And she also knew that James and John were part of that special triumvirate of Jesus' followers, his inner circle. Every time Jesus goes aside, you'll read, and he took with him Peter, James, and John. And so she figured they were really close to Jesus and must have a real special relationship. And so she presumed that when Jesus' kingdom came about, her sons would be really important. However, just prior to this, Jesus had told a story which kind of disturbed her a little bit, concerned her about her sons. His indication was that those who had authority wouldn't rule, but those who served would be great. And so she goes to Jesus with a concern. Her concern was that her sons, first of all, would be in the kingdom. And so she wanted to make sure of that as she knelt down. And Jesus' response to her indicates, kind of in a roundabout way, that yes, that hope that her sons were going to be part of Jesus' kingdom was indeed fulfilled. How many times have you heard a mom, or have you heard a teacher that has, Sunday school teacher or other teacher, that has kind of filled that void for a child? Talk about how much they've prayed for that child. Sometimes they pleaded and begged God on behalf of their children. I know of a couple of folks who are a part of this fellowship who have shared, and even later on, their children have shared, that if it weren't for those prayers and that care and that concern, they might not even be here today. Moms are those, and I'm not saying dads don't too, but moms are those especially that have that bond and show that concern on behalf of their children, that they indeed be part of something greater. And for those Christian moms, that their children will be part of that kingdom of God and Jesus. Even before themselves, they pray for those children. The mother here also pleaded that her sons would be actively involved in the work of Jesus' kingdom. A colleague of mine, Roger Lovett, writes, and I quote, "Maybe it is not enough just to be saved. Churches are full of people content just to fill a pew on Sunday mornings. Sometimes we wish. There are plenty of people willing to sit back and receive the blessings, but seldom do they really get involved in doing any of the real work of the church. But where does the spirit of service begin? It begins at homes, with mothers and fathers, setting the example, praying that their sons and daughters might not just be saved, but might be involved in the work of the kingdom as teachers, setting examples and discipling others that they might be the ones to go out into the world, the ones to see that the church continues on until Jesus comes again." End of quote. James and John's mother pleaded with Jesus that her sons would be actively involved. And really part of what she was doing was asking Jesus to make sure they were involved. Because she realized that there comes a point in time where they would make their own decisions and move ahead. The mother of James and John was hoping and praying that the things that she had done, the way she had lived her life with her sons, might possibly have had such an influence that they would want to be actively involved. And how many moms want that for their children? Praying and pleading not just for them to be saved, but that they would be saved to a purpose and would be found faithfully working. We need to do that, to pray for our children, whether they're 6 or 60. That they wouldn't just be saved, but we'd be active in the kingdom's work, sharing their faith at work, at home, at play, at school, with their next door neighbors across the fence. Upholding those high expectations, not just of God, but the high expectations of mom. A mom who had high hopes. High hopes. High hopes. Now, that's a different song, though. Right. But moms do have high hopes. And great expectations. Even before Charles Dickens. She wanted them to be more than just present and march in a parade. She wanted her sons to be right next to the king. And she wanted that so badly for her children. Not for her, but for her children, that she was bold enough to confront Jesus himself. She didn't want them to just barely slide in the door. But then again, thinking back, I would imagine that many, if not most of us, can think to times where our moms really wanted the best for us even more than we did. Even more than we did. Because of that care, because of that grace, because of that love. Roger Lovett, again, writes, and I quote, "Too often we have settled for mediocrity in the church. For too long we have been content with just barely making it through the door and have been content to sit back and let things happen. But it is time for us to lead, mobilizing to make sure the message of Christ goes into all the world, to strive for excellence, to reach for the very best that there is, to become the best that our moms would have us to be for the kingdom of God." End of quote. Not only did James and John's mother want this for them, she expected it from them. She had high hopes. She had great expectations that allowed her to put herself aside on behalf of her children. Today we recognize mother love, a love which goes through so much just to bring life into the world, but then a love which sacrifices over and over and which would die. Which would die for children. And a mother love which wants the best of each of us, whether 6 or 60. And which expects us to live up to the highest reaches possible. And it's that kind of love that we recognize today. In our mothers, in those who fill that gap where there is not a mother present. Those who have been given by God many, many things, including the ability to look at a child that has just messed up and still communicate love and understanding without saying a word. And a love that inspires us to be better than we can be because of God's grace. As we come to the time of singing our hymn, before we come to table, to remember that a mother gave birth to that son and then gave him up for you and for me. A mom who was called out by God and who put herself on hold because of that call. We first want to stand and sing our hymn of decision, our hymn of invitation. Hymn number 382. Come, Holy Spirit. And as we stand and as we sing, may that Spirit of God truly come within us and surround us, just as a mother's love. Number 382, come, Holy Spirit.